you were here last week, at the end of service, you know I talked this week about wanting to do what I call a fire tunnel. You can call it a prayer tunnel. You can call it the laying on of hands. Whatever branch of evangelical Christianity you came from, they probably title it differently. It may or may not be something you've experienced in church before in your walk with the Lord. And so in a few minutes, after I finish teaching and we go into that prayer time, there's zero pressure for you to come down and be prayed over from the Lord. But I hope in what I teach and share with you this morning, you see the power of the laying on of hands, and you're open to what I feel like the Lord spoke to me about last week in laying hands on everyone here this morning that wants to have hands laid on. And so I genuinely believe in us being a Pentecostal, charismatic, spirit-filled church. There are times when we need to boldly express that in unashamed ways. And to me as your pastor, one of those areas is the laying on of hands. And so I want to walk you through scripture. We're going to begin in the original testament this morning. You, in your handout, you have scriptures even more than what I'm going to share on the screens because I wanted to give you additional scripture for you to take home and look at. But you know, in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 6, the writer of Hebrews calls the laying on of hands a foundational aspect, a foundational belief of the church. He mentions six things there at the beginning of chapter 6 in the book of Hebrews, and one of them is the laying on of hands. But I want to go back into the original testament and see kind of pictures, right, in the writings of Moses of where hands began to be laid on and how that then carried into the life of Jesus and the New Testament church. And so we're going to begin this morning in Deuteronomy chapter 34. In Deuteronomy chapter 34, it says this, right? Moses is turning leadership over to Joshua. It says, now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses. Notice it doesn't say that Joshua was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had prayed over him. It says Joshua was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid hands on him. I find that so interesting, right? Because you go all the way back, right, to the life of Moses and the Israelites coming out of Egypt and into the promised land. And you begin to see pictures of what's going to come even through the ministry of Jesus in the New Testament church. Another place is Numbers chapter 8. Numbers chapter 8 and verse 10, it says, you are to bring the Levites before the Lord, right? The Levites were the tribe that ministered in the temple and in the tabernacle before God. You're to bring the Levites before the Lord, and the Israelites are to lay their hands on them. Right? So even in the institution in the original testament of the Levites' leadership, the people laid hands on them in coming into the Levitical priesthood and ministering in the tabernacle and in the temple. Right? So you see in Deuteronomy, Moses lays hands on Joshua at the beginning of his leadership. You see in Numbers that the Israelites laid hands on the Levites at the beginning of their leadership, right? And going in to minister. And so then as we carry into the New Testament, we see in the life of Jesus, I actually had to like pick and choose because he laid hands on so many people so many different times. But we see all through the life of Jesus that he lays hands on people and different things take place. Right, one of those particular places is in Luke chapter 4 and verse 40. Luke 4:40 says, at sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Doesn't say he prayed over them, says he laid hands on them and healed them. It doesn't say he spoke the word, it says he laid hands on them and healed them. Right? There was clearly a transference of anointing that went out of Jesus and into those individuals when he laid hands on them, right? I believe that affects what we see in Matthew 19. In Matthew 19, it says, then people brought little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. The disciples rebuked them. And Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." And when he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there. Right? Jesus took the time. And let's think about this for just a second. Like, how tremendous of an impact should this have on us? Jesus had roughly 3.5 years of ministry on the earth. Right? We know, as I've been teaching over the last few weeks with prayer, Jesus regularly left ministry to go and pray. Right? Jesus believed in the power of prayer. But he also believed in the power of the laying on of hands. And so here, you have Jesus taking time to lay hands on every child that's brought to him because the people are desiring for him to lay hands on them, right? The parents believe that there's something in blessing that comes from Jesus into these children, and so they bring them to him. But what happens? The disciples are like, no, you shouldn't do that. And Jesus is like, we're doing the right thing here. We're good here. And he lays hands on every child, right? And then what? He goes on from there. Right? Once he's done laying hands on all of the kids, he goes on and ministers then other places. And even Jesus himself teaches us and shares to us that we should lay hands, right? As he's getting ready to go up in the ascension, in Mark chapter 16, he leaves instruction to his disciples for the expansion of the church. And he says, "These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they'll drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues," right? We believe in that here. "They will pick up snakes with their hands." It doesn't mean they should pick up snakes. That's churches in Kentucky and Tennessee. That ain't North Carolina, right? Right? It's a different gospel. "They'll pick up snakes with their hands," right? "And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well." Again, it doesn't say they'll pray over sick people. It says they'll place their hands on them, right? Which is why you see this as a foundational teaching in the book of James, in James chapter 5, when he says, "Go to the elders of the church if you're sick, and the prayer prayed in faith will make the sick person well." But what does it say that the elders should do? It says they should anoint them with oil. You can't anoint someone with oil without putting your hands on them. I mean, I guess you could sling it on them as they go by. But for the most part, when you anoint someone with oil, you're laying hands on them. And so here, Jesus says, right, that his believers, the followers, the New Testament church will lay hands on people and they will get well. And so then Jesus ascends and you have the turnover now to the New Testament church. And numerous places in the book of Acts, it talks about laying hands, right? One of them being Acts 6:6. It says, they presented these, right, new leaders in the church, they presented these men to the apostles who prayed and laid their hands on them, right? Specifically, now, new leadership coming into the church are being prayed over and having hands laid on them. Acts 13:3. Same thing again, new leadership in the church. After they fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. Right? So now you've got fasting and prayer, not just prayer, fasting and prayer. You know, as a community, we fast at the beginning of the year. It's something we'll do going into next year. We believe in the power of fasting. We believe in the power of prayer. We believe in the power of laying on of hands. I absolutely believe there is something that happens when believers lay hands on people, especially when there is unity in the faith. And I think this is important for us for a minute, which is why the individuals that I've asked to come down this morning are people that I feel like are called to minister in this house. It's people who are pouring themselves out in this place, right? It doesn't mean that they're largely that much different than others who are here. I'm not largely any different than anyone else here. I could bring Quinn and Finley in here, and they could lay hands on people. I've watched Finley lay hands on people and seen the Lord heal them. I've watched her give prophetic words to people. Just this week, my wife had a dream, and she was sharing it with the girls. And you all know, lots of Finley's dreams have come true in the Lord, even the one about Oliver. But Sharon shared a dream with the girls, and Finley like went to Sharon and was like, "What are you doing with that dream?" You know, and Sharon was like, "I don't know, I'm not really doing anything with it." And Finley was like, "Mom, what if it's a God dream? Like, if it's a God dream, you have to hold on to it. Like, don't overlook it, you know." And Sharon was like, "Okay," you know, like, but because Finley has encountered the Lord in her dreams, what happens? She now understands that God speaks through dreams, right? So even at 11, she knows God speaks in the night. Right, Scripture makes that really clear. How often throughout Scripture did the Lord use dreams? I'll teach on dreams at some point in the future. But so often, all through Scripture, dreams are what led to breakthrough. Dreams are what led to provision. Dreams are what led to change. Dreams are what led to the shifting of the spiritual atmosphere, right? And because those that believed in those dreams heard those dreams, they were able then to what? Interpret those dreams. I believe in the laying on of hands. I've watched the Lord minister and move in people's lives on numerous occasions through the laying on of hands. And because of that, we know that the Lord uses it in a powerful and tremendous way to impact the church. We know the Lord brings breakthrough in the laying on of hands. And there are times when prayer goes with it. There are times when it doesn't. Right? There are times when just laying your hands on someone, there is a transference that takes place. And we're about to see that. Right here in the life of Timothy. In both 1st and 2nd Timothy, it talks about the laying on of hands. And Paul is writing to Timothy, a future leader in the church. And what does Paul say? Right? In 1st Timothy chapter 4, he says this, "Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you." Don't neglect your gift that was given through prophecy when the body of elders laid hands on you. So you see, in the life of Timothy, there was a release generationally from elders in the church to Timothy, a young leader in the church, when they prophesied and laid their hands on him. And Paul brings this back up again later when he writes Timothy a second time. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, he says, "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." Paul specifically says, the gift that's in you, that gift came when I laid hands on you. Paul says, that gift, the one I'm telling you to fan into flame, don't let it die, Timothy, because it's in you when I laid hands on you. And so there's something about power in the Lord that takes place through the ministry of the laying on of hands. I've shared this testimony in here before, but one of the most tremendous healings I have ever seen in my life happened in Zambia, Africa, a couple of years ago. Had a team from our church in the height of COVID. We had flown into Africa. Things were hectic and crazy. We went out into these villages. We were sitting around the campfire that morning getting ready to go out and do village ministry. And I've shared this in here before, I believe, but there's something specific I want to point to. But as we're sitting around the campfire that morning, the local leader, his name was Charles, he began to ask, we had like 17, 18 young people there. And he began to ask, "What do you guys want to see today?" And different kids were like, "I want to see a whole family get saved. I want to see a whole village get saved." And he gets to me and I go, "I want to see a miracle, like an undeniable miracle." And he was like, "Oh, okay," you know. So we break up into our groups. There's like 5 or 6 in different groups. And Charles is leading the group that I'm in. It was myself, another pastor friend of mine. Now, a number of the young people that were on that team are missionaries. But of the 4 or 5 of us that we had, we start walking through the forest. And the other pastor that was there, he says to Charles, "Where are we going?" And Charles goes, "Oh, I'm taking your pastor to a blind man's house because he wants God to do a miracle. So we're going to start there." And I was like, "Oh, he took me for real. Like, he's like ready to like go do this." And so we were like, "Okay, you know." And we walk into the hut of a man named Jehoshaphat. That should also be a sign and a symbol, but we go in to this hut, and he's totally blind. He has no retinas, he has no irises, his eyes are literally just white, milky white. And our team is ministering to him, and as they're ministering to him, there isn't really much happening. But suddenly I feel my heart stirred by the Holy Spirit, and I'm like, oh, God's gonna heal this guy. I just knew it. I knew it beyond a shadow of a doubt. I was like, the Lord's gonna heal this guy. And I said to the team, do you guys mind if I take over? And they were like, no. And Jehoshaphat was sitting cross-legged on the ground. And I just felt the Lord tell me to go over and sit cross-legged and get knee to knee and take his hands in my hands. And I went over and I did that. And I took his hands in my hands and I just started speaking to his eyes. And I started calling forth healing. And as I did that, the whole team, the translator, the local minister, Jehoshaphat's wife, everyone got to see a living miracle of God. As I began to call forth his vision, the white stuff that was in his eyes started running down his cheeks, like leaking out of his eyes and running down his cheeks. And as it was happening, the other pastor that was with me goes, you should take your thumbs and wipe that off of his cheeks. And in my mind, I was like, I don't want to touch whatever that is, right? Like, whatever's leaking out of his eyes right now, I don't want to touch that, you know? But I did it. And I just started, like, taking my thumbs and wiping away the stuff that was coming out of his eyes. And as I began to do that, we started seeing irises and then pupils form in his eyes. And I didn't pray once. I actually prayed, I think, 6 or 7 different times, calling forth healing in Jesus' name. I command you to see in Jesus' name. And as I did that, the stuff came out, and he began to get vision. And I laugh because when the Lord completely restored his vision, he gasped, right? Jehoshaphat gasped, and he said something. And I knew in my head what I thought he said, but I asked Charles, I said, what did he, because Charles was laughing, the translator was laughing, and I said, what did he just say? And he goes, he said, oh my gosh, you're a white guy. And so I knew then he was healed. And I absolutely believe that the connection of faith and the laying on of hands brought forth vision from the touch of the power of God. And I believe there's something that happens in us as sons and daughters of God when we unite together in faith and in prayer. And I believe there is something that happens when we connect in a personal way with the people that we're praying for and ministering to. I believe there is something that happens when we hold hands. I believe there's something that happens when we lay a hand on a shoulder. I believe there's something that happens when we lay hands on a head. I believe that there is something, a level of connection in the spiritual realm I do not completely understand, but I believe in all of my heart the Lord does something powerful in the ministry of the laying on of hands. And so this morning, I want to give opportunity for everyone who desires to have hands laid on them, for hands to be laid on them. I'm even going to give an opportunity for the kids to be brought in. I've already talked with Miss Pam, who's teaching the older kids. I know Christy and Amanda have the younger kids. There's all freedom for them to come in and for the kids to be ministered to as well. But this is how I want to do it. In just a couple of minutes, I'm going to have the worship team come back up. Actually, if you guys would, just go ahead and start making your way up. And we're going to do one song to kind of set our hearts at the place to receive. And then I have picked a handful of people to join me. I think there's 7 or 8 of us. And we're going to just kind of pair up across the front here in teams. And what I want to do for those who are comfortable to be ministered to, I'm going to call you up by section so that you don't have to stand in line a long time. For some of you, that's not easy. I'm going to call up a section at a time. When I call your section, I'm just going to ask that you go around the back, come down this aisle right here, and through the front, and then you can go back around to your section. There'll be worship music playing in the room. But also, I know that there are some of you that you may not be comfortable with this. Then by all means, I'm going to pray over everyone in just a minute, and you're free to go about your Sunday afternoon. Zero pressure from me as your pastor for you to do this. I do hope that you've put some level of trust in me over the last 10 months that the Lord has called us to be here. And the Lord is calling us to be a Spirit-filled church in not just one or two ways, but in every biblical way. And so as we're ministering, as we are doing this, I've told those that are here at the front, right, we're just going to pray over you because the Lord already knows your need. The Lord already knows your need. He knows right where you are. He knows the number of hairs on your head. So he knows every need you have. And so as you're coming through, we're going to be praying a prayer of agreement for the Lord's will to be done in you, to you, and through you. You need reconciliation in your family, the Lord already knows that. You need healing in your body, the Lord already knows that. You need transition in a job situation, the Lord already knows that. You need provision and breakthrough over a financial thing, the Lord already knows. I believe when we agree in prayer and lay hands on you today, we are going to see breakthrough. We're going to see healing in bodies. We're going to see doors of opportunity opened. We're going to see prodigal children begin making that return home. I believe we're going to see the fullness of the kingdom of God. Because I'll tell you, as your pastor, my human nature doesn't want to do this. Can I be honest with you? My human nature is like, oh man, people will think this is weird. People will think this is awkward. But the Spirit in me that loves the Lord with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength goes, oh, but Pharaoh, God can do more in 2 seconds than you can do in days of preaching. Yes, and so I got to follow the Spirit. I have to crush my flesh at times and say, you're not in charge, Bethel, God is. God is. And when I was up here last week, I heard so clearly from the Lord to do this prayer ministry time this morning. I was planning a message. I was working towards another sermon in our prayer series. And the Lord is like, nope, it's time. It's time to minister. It's time to lay hands on. It's time to believe. And I know this morning there are some who are watching that can't be here. In just a minute, I'm going to pray over you. And I had a family member that was radically healed in his body. Absolutely power move of God, watching Christian TV one day when the minister speaking called out a particular sickness that my cousin suffered with, and he went and put his hand in the TV and said, God, that's for me. And he never suffered another day in his life after that. Wow. Right? Listen, if the Apostle Paul can touch handkerchiefs, pieces of cloth, right? The Apostle Paul could literally touch a piece of cloth. Right? And that piece of cloth could go to someone, Acts 19. That piece of cloth could be taken to someone, and demons would leave them when that came in contact with them. The cloth doesn't have any power, right? There's nothing about that piece. That piece of cloth right now can't do anything for me. I can put it in my pockets. I can do whatever I want with it. It doesn't do anything. But the power of God and the belief factor for the person receiving the cloth, that's when it happens. Right? Because they knew that cloth had been anointed, and so they believed. Peter's shadow healed the sick. His shadow in the natural was no different than anyone else's shadow. It wasn't about Peter, it was about the Spirit of the living God. Right? And this morning, it's not about us, it's not about the people standing here at the front, it's about the Lord. It's about faith. It's about the kingdom. It's about unity. And so we believe together for God to move. So let me just have everyone for a minute. Let's just stand together. And I want to have the worship team lead us one more time through the song. And I'm just asking you right now, put your spirit under the authority of the Spirit of the Lord in this song as we prepare our hearts for this ministry time.